Hi, guys. Neil Brennan here. You're listening to Watching the Blocks podcast. My guest today is a woman that I like very much, who I don't know especially well, but whenever we interact, it's pretty kind and it's pretty decent. And and I like her comedy and I like her person, and we have many mutual friends. Beth Stelling is my guest today, and she has a Netflix special called If You Didn't Want Me Then, and she has an HBO called Girl Daddy, and I watch them both so everyone can go fuck themselves, because I'm not one of those comedians who's like, no, I don't watch stuff, I don't want to get in my head. No, you're a selfish person if you don't watch it. I love comedy, and everyone in comedy should like comedy, and if you're so to say I don't watch, it's like you're just selfish, you're overcome by your own jealousy. Look, that's not aimed at you.
I'll press play.
Oh, I won't watch.
I'll press play on pretty much everything.
Yeah.
There was only one recently, right? I was just like, I can't do it, and I didn't press play.
Let us know who you think it was in the comments, guys. Real quick, if you want to guess, I have a couple jump to mind.
But yours, I did watch and enjoyed.
Thanks. Thanks.
It's true. It was great.
No, I believe you. So your
one word missing. I was just going to say pleasant.
Our pleasant interactions?
Yeah.
Great. I mean, it doesn't make for great podcasting. I listen to a very pleasant podcast about
tense.
Conflict. Vaccines. all right. So your last one, or your most recent one, the Netflix one.
If you didn't want me then.
And she's at Beth Stelling. That's two L's.
Yeah.
Do you talk about your dad a lot? What's the, give people the quick version of what your childhood was like and who your dad was.
My parents divorced when I was around three. My dad moved to Orlando, Florida to become an actor.
Of course.
Which is not where you go.
Correct.
And
if he was there in the 90s, I may have crossed paths with him.
It's very possible.
Auditioning for All That. So I was there for about 6 months.
Or maybe, did you take an improv class ever?
I didn't. Did he work with Paula Pell? Does he bring her up ever?
No.
Because Paula Pell was like in Orlando and then then she got hired for us.
If only he had crossed paths
sketches,
with her.
Yeah,
he would have been on.
All of our lives would have been different.
I'd be a Nepo baby. Then went, by the time I was six, we were going to visit him, leaving our mom in Ohio to visit our dad in Orlando.
For how long were the periods?
A month in the summer, which was extremely long. That'll leave you all garbled. You come back and you're calling your mom dad, and it's strange. It's such a weird transition, especially Ohio and Florida being so different.
And they're also, were they similar people at all?
No, it was, no. Not similar at all.
Why did they get married, do you think?
I've talked to my mom about it a little bit with questions, and she was like, he was very talkative and funny.
Moms like pushback as much as cops do. Like, you can't question moms about anything. They like it about as much as police departments where they're like, you don't understand what it's like on the streets.
He remarried, so we like met a stepmom. There was some visitation that happened before we started flying down there with a supervisor and therapist present. And then, because I've been flying since
I was
six.
Contentious?
Struggled with mental illness.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yes. So then, yes, months in the summer, pretty much every other holiday. Usually if we had Christmas, sometimes we'd be flying on Christmas Day to our dad's. So it was like you either stayed up until Christmas Eve and then left, or left on Christmas Day till New Year's-ish.
I can't think of any Christmas movies or even stories that are like that.
Yeah.
Where you stay and then you leave. Was it sad? Were you like, you seem good-natured about it in the specials, but I'm wondering
Yeah. I would say it's much deeper than that. Everything that happened, I would say. And traumatic, for sure, that we all went through at different ages. I have two older sisters, so we all kind of remember it differently.
They're wrong, by the way.
Yeah, my story is obviously correct.
Just FYI.
There's a lot that goes into it. There's definitely a people-pleasy aspect in me where I was like, I want to be make my dad comfortable when I'm there. I want to make mom comfortable when I'm there. Let them know. Not necessarily like make them think they're my favorite, but just like do that. That's probably.
Did you think you were in a position?
No. No, I could never relate to the, remember, it's not your fault. It's don't protest too much. I never thought it was mine.
Pretty clear.
It's very clearly their problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I felt like my mom did her best to, my mom was not a shit talker. Yeah. She never bad talked him. When I would draw a family in kindergarten, it would be, I think, I can't remember. Sometimes I would draw him with a hole on the top of his head because he was balding. And then other times I started just drawing me and my mom and my sisters because that's how we grew up.
I thought it was about mental illness. Go ahead.
I wasn't that clever yet. But yeah, I don't know. I always had that this moment. I remember somebody was like, "Well, where's your dad?" And then I, you know, eventually the joke became like, "You're supposed to have one." You know, it's sort of like everything was good. My mom was
I wonder if
time.
You don't. One of your blocks is PTSD or CPTSD, which is complex PTSD.
Also, what does
about.
It all mean anyway?
Right.
It's the same B, with the Bible. A bunch of dudes wrote the DSMB.
It's all like I heard Freud said.
Yeah.
It's all so hearsay-ish. Yeah. It's all like, you know what Freud thinks? Okay.
Yeah, close
cool.
personal friend Freud.
Like, right, but it's also
lived in the modern world Freud.
The guy who wrote about dreams 80% of his life, like just dreams. Like, all right, man, this is never going to be provable or disprovable. And talking to people can be helpful. My question for you is, how do you find processing your own trauma? Honestly, because I've gotten sick of my own. I have a bit now where I'm just like making fun of it.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
I'm
like,
making fun of like this. It's a thing I have with my girlfriend where I call it decadent emotions, where mm-hmm. like every emotion must be taken out and buffed and polished and honored, and like, because we all have time, because because our lives are basically so good that we can go excavating for like the bad. Wait, something's amiss.
Right. Well, it's almost like I'm too introspective. Sometimes I'm overly self-aware, sick of myself. There's times where I've been like, what do I have to say about it? Shut up. And I think earlier I was just so busy and so driven in my youth that my early days, after doing stand-up this long, which is like a lot, 17 years, and also not a lot in the grand scheme of things.
I'm same.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it is a lot.
Yeah.
And yet I feel like, where'd the time go?
Yeah.
But I've changed, of course, as a human. Like, you know, you're my 2012 Conan said, it's a time capsule. It's like, I didn't even know how to tell them how I like to do my hair.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many things you learn along the way. Anyway, I guess early days of stand-up, I could only really rely on feedback. I didn't know what I was. I didn't like have a plan and be like, this is my persona. Here I go. I was the youngest of three. I was a ham. I liked attention. I was a class clown. I wasn't necessarily a theater kid yet, but I would go on to like study theater. And I did speech and debate in the humorous category. So everything was leading towards me.
They have they have a humorous category?
Yes. I was the state champion of Ohio in 2003.
I thought I recognized you. All right, let's do some blocks real quick. Let's do romantic relationships with men.
Okay.
Because I am interested in your feelings, where if you've gotten better at it, where'd you start, and how have you gotten better at it? Because I think in your teens, I mean, like the shit about just trying to like eighth graders hooking up with college dudes or whatever, like as if you guys were hooking up, as
I
if
know.
That's what was happening.
I know. But I think he touched my water bra and then tried to finger my friend's butthole. And I was like, we got to get out of this closet. But I'm like, my dad wasn't present in my upbringing mm-hmm. in Dayton, Ohio. Still had to visit him. He made it very clear how much he loved me. He does struggle with mental illness. So there is an intensity to it. And it's not your typical relationship with a father. And
it's better.
So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm in eighth grade. I'm going down to party at University of Dayton with my like bad girlfriends. What's the root of that? Is it daddy issues?
Right, because there's five of you.
Right. Or is it our American culture,
yeah.
which is I get my worth from men being attracted to me.
Yeah.
Like I look at my diary back then, which I still have. It's terrifying. And it's stuff like a little list of like workout, go tanning. Like, I'm just sort of like, where does that come from? I mean, it comes from looking around in magazines
what
TV
we call
and
daddy issues could just be like status issues.
Yeah. I'm just like, and I was scared. I wasn't like horny looking to hook up with a college dude. I was terrified. I had no tits. And that's pretty much what saved me. I don't even know if I put that joke in that special. I used to have a
you
joke
did about, reference having
about gymnastics.
Tits. Yeah.
Oh, the only time gymnastics has, I said I, gymnastics saved me. The only time gymnastics has saved a kid from getting diddled. I don't think I put that in.
Fuck. We got to go.
I missed some tags.
We got to reshoot it.
It was just one take. Anyway. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't like seeking that out. I was definitely scared of that. But that is also interestingly enough related to my body. So by being a gymnast, I didn't really have tits. So they didn't make me feel sexy. And I feel like some of my first experiences with my boyfriend, who cared about me and stuff, Robert.
How old?
He was a junior and I was a freshman. And I'm just sort of like, it's that people pleasy. I remember I was like, I'm ready to give him a blowjob. I drank like two huge bottles of pre-made screwdriver. It's like that, like barely orange. It's like a yellowy orange, so watered down with vodka. It's in a bottle. I can't remember.
Did you, when you say pre-made, who made it?
It was just like in a bottle that you purchased.
Oh, you could buy it.
Yeah, apparently at the Quick and Cold.
Great.
I gave him a blowjob in my bunk bed, my top bunk bed.
Are you standing? What are we talking about logistically?
I mean, like, I'm like, the ceiling is like this high. Like, I don't even know if I could sit up all the way. We're like climbing in their army style.
Okay. I mean, and, no, I'm not mad at it. Go ahead.
And then I was like, I don't think that was good enough. And I did it a second time same night.
Did he finish?
That I truly don't remember. I'm sure he did the first time and he probably
sure. Yeah, let's
was
be real.
Able to reload. Yeah. But that's like a funny thing for me to look back at. Like I wasn't whatever you want to call it, slutty. I had a boyfriend, but it was like I definitely sacrificed my own comfort and my own pleasure to please somebody else. And that's a consistent theme.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too gendery about it, but like that's I did the same thing. I like to your point of like, I don't know what's this pathological daddy issue and what's just a human being wanting to be socially connected and like of worth within their circle.
Yeah. And liked and.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah. Who doesn't want like I'm too healthy for that. No, you just maybe you have better boundaries if you're healthy, but I don't think anyone has boundaries until they're like 30.
Yeah, I'm also thinking too, like, you know, what's the key? Self-love, you know, mm-hmm. like being so happy and content with yourself that it would be like a joy to just have a partner appreciate the things that you already love about yourself. Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, but people say stuff to you and you're out in the world and you can't control it. And then those things stick with you and you build insecurities and all that stuff.
Yeah, and so that's, it's a part of our anti-therapy movement on this podcast. Not BetterHelp is a regular sponsor.
I get all my therapy.
But again, like you, therapy is worthwhile. What I'm saying is the idea of pathologizing everything. So it's like, I only did this because of my dad. Are you sure?
Right.
Because a bunch and millions of other people did it who had ostensibly good parenting.
Yeah. And then it comes to the point of like, grow up. I'm just sort of like, you can't be blaming your dad to your 30s. I know somebody who dated somebody whose dad had passed, and it was like he was still saying, like, well, that's why I do this. It's like, what?
Yeah.
No, like these can't be excuses for your behavior.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be saying, well, I do this because of that. Now, sometimes when you haven't analyzed it or looked under the rock at all, it can feel like, you know, you're a magnet getting hurled towards a fridge being told not to stick. You know, it's like you are, it does sometimes feel inevitable. So having witnessed in my childhood domestic partner violence, I personally didn't think that I would ever be needing to deal with that. My first person that I fell in love with, I was, I think, 15. It was really positive. We were speech kids together, both funny. We did the play together, musical together. And we loved each other. And it was a positive experience. You know, and we've gone in and out, but he came and hung out with me when I was in Portland at Helium this year, like in November.
Yeah.
So we're still friends, like very positive. And I have had plenty of lovely, positive men in my life. So it's almost to the point where when I did experience partner violence
gave no credit to your dad for that, right? I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, that's how it works. It's like anything negative is because of him. Anything positive is just because I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's not attributable to anybody, even though.
Well, I will say he one of his things is like he's very repetitive, and he would consistently say, like, because we had a phone call, weekly phone call when we weren't there during the year, go for spring break, or like I told you, a month in the summer, every other holiday. We would have a weekly phone call, and he would say over and over, and I think I mentioned this in a special, but it's everything's true. He would say, get the education you need, to get the job you need, to get the car and the house you need, then worry about the husband. So I wasn't having, and I never had pressure from my mom to get married or find a husband or have kids, never have. My mom's a musician or a music teacher, but she's a pianist and always very encouraging of my pursuits in comedy and theater and all those things. Yeah. So I did have a lot of love of pushing me towards things that fueled me and lit me up and support of my dad that wasn't involved in like finding a man and that's my identity and all these things. So it's like, to your point, I had a fairly, you know, feminist take from him on that, I would say, in building yourself as an individual and not just like finding your other half. But as time went on, I mean, I had a dude in college. I definitely experienced like I gained a bunch of weight by going to my dad's house in the summers. I just eat and we wouldn't do much. He's a sign spinner. Like he calls it, he defines it more widely as like a live roadside commercial or character direction. He's not just standing there. He's like really putting a lot into it. But he would be doing that during the mornings and then take us to the beach. So it was just like we weren't doing like a ton while we were there. And that was a huge factor, I think, me gaining weight. I think I was just in my relationship to myself, to men. I went to see Chloe Radcliffe's show, Cheat. She's a New York comic. And she was basically saying like being chubbier when she was younger. And she also has like a very prominent mole on her face that she talks about. She was describing it as like a scarcity mentality. You take what you can get type of thing.
And there's food is available.
Yeah, well, food at my dad's.
Is that what you were saying?
No. I mean, like, yes, food at my dad's. But also feeling chubbier, feeling like you just got to take what you get. Like, if you like me, I like you too.
Oh, yeah.
I like you.
Again.
I must too.
I think that that's incredibly common at any weight.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And I think we don't even think about very often, do I like this person?
Oh my
gosh.
Does
this person
yes,
like that?
Yes, I've actually heard you talk about that before.
Yeah.
When I went off to college, I dated a guy at UC. I had a thing with long distance for a while. And where I would consistently have a long distance relationship with men. And I was like, well, first one was with my dad. So this is lining up. But it's like, there's safety in that. You know, there's also freedom in that.
Yeah.
Like, I get to be alone
easier,
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier for a lot of reasons. And yeah.
It's easier because like you just don't have as much time to be you don't have to be a girlfriend that much.
Yeah.
Which is like, let's be honest, it's a role.
Yeah.
Like it's a role, like being a boyfriend's a role. Like it's these are, you are not yourself in gross shorts. I'm talking about everyone.
Yeah.
In socks, gross shorts, just fucking around on your phone or computer, TV,
exactly.
or whatever.
It's reading. Like, do I want to meet up after, like, even now, after a show, do I want to go and meet up and hook up, or do I want to go home and eat and slouch and mess around?
You know, be at half mast.
Yeah.
Basically.
Anyway, I'm just thinking, like, I had a crush on this guy in college, and he never really gave me the time of day. And then I felt like I lost weight and we reconnected later, and then he did. And so that was also formative.
He did what?
Want to date me.
Yeah.
So again, but here's the other thing that I'm not remembering. I came out here when he was living here and I was still chubby and we hooked up. So I'm sort of like, I don't know. I think there's part of me that
but
had these.
And here's another thing.
He doesn't want me
no
like this, but he wants
up.
Me like this.
Are people not allowed their preferences?
True.
Do you know what I mean? Like it becomes, there are so many things now that I think are just like, it's this gendered fucking conspiracy against X people. Women don't like short guys or guys don't like fat women or whatever. And it's like they're allowed to want what they want. It's not this grand conspiracy
True.
Against your type of person, but it's everything's position now that it's like.
Yeah, and everybody has
victim.
An opinion on everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can like what you like and, you know, face to face to someone say like, oh, I'm not really interested or whatever. And that's different than going on some random girl's Instagram who's fat in a bikini and saying, you're disgusting.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the issue, I would
that's
say.
Awful,
I mean, one of the many issues.
Awful, incredibly awful behavior. Yeah. And I guess that I see what you mean that it could seem like a conspiracy in or like this sort of shame regime or whatever.
Yeah.
If there are people writing underneath your, basically writing graffiti on you, which again, why are we in a system that allows this?
I know. I don't, that part.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, I felt like I'm good. Nothing. I'm not going to get myself involved in anything where I would get hurt. And, but it was just sort of like, I realized my boundaries are very much, you know, like a little piece of paper. I'm like, here's my boundary. And it's like, okay, that's going to fall if you don't hold it up. I actually need you to hold up that paper.
I just tore it up and threw it away. Any other boundary? That's it? No, that was your only
No, that's
boundary.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that. And also, there's a couple things too that come to mind when you were just talking, where it's like people are allowed their preferences. And we also don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to villainize every ex. I think that comes with maturity and retrospect. Yeah. But, you know, it's, again, part of our culture to be like, well, fuck him if he doesn't want you, or he's probably gay, you know? And it's like,
yeah. Or okay. So if someone doesn't like you, they're a toxic narcissist.
Right.
Huh, that's wild.
Yeah. And of course, I've been a part of that reaction from a friend. I've said things in the past. Of course, they're like, "Well, fuck him, you stupid." And
I'm all for like,
or it didn't work
like
out.
One, fuck him.
Yeah,
he's ex. Okay, yeah. You got like 2 weeks of that.
Yeah,
and then after that, it's like, all right, well,
yeah,
you know what they are.
But I had my patterns too. Like, I would basically like, I had this old joke that I was a Tarzan dater before I let go of this dick. I'm like swinging to the next dick.
I had the same observation. Didn't realize it could be a joke. Like, I noticed. Like, I would say she Tarzan me. Which is like, I'm glad that I didn't, that you figured it out.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, you don't, I mean, the joke I make about it is like, I'm college educated. I don't quit a job before I have another one lined up.
Right. Yep.
And it's like, but of course, that's codependent. It's like the need of someone liking you at all times, even if I'm breaking up with someone, I'd love for them to still love me.
Yeah, it's also immoral. You're kind of emotionally cheating already.
Oh, gosh, I mean, yes. 100%. I was absolutely emotionally cheating. And whenever it became physical or was something like that, not justified it. I knew it was all wrong. But in the past, I would say like, well, I would never then sleep with that, my last person. Like, I wouldn't be two timing. And to me, that was like better. But of course, it's not okay.
He didn't know you weren't going to sleep
cowardly.
With him.
Yeah.
You weren't, but he hadn't found out yet.
Yeah. It's selfish. It's cowardly. It's all those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Because then the trouble too is like, and now more recently I've been cheated on, like whatever, in my previous relationship. And I have to go like, I still have to stop myself from going, but I wasn't like that. I didn't fuck random people without a condom at a bar and then fuck my girlfriend without a condom. To me, that's like an actual crime and you should be prosecuted. But I'm like, also, I'm open about that now and able to say like, that was a pattern. And when I am open about that, that's backfired. Like, somebody thinks, well, you're just going to do that to me. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, you can believe that, but I was being honest about a past thing that I don't do anymore. I thought we were sharing about ourselves, but okay.
How much? What's relevant?
Yeah, no, totally.
Those are all things
like, you have to learn along the way, too, I think. Like, every relationship is different. I think it's just what transitioned from me needing to be with someone, and even after I break up with them, I'd love for them to stay in love with me for a while, please. It's like, you left them. Let them move on.
Yeah,
you know?
Let them say you're an asshole.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like that need to be liked and... Yep. And all that stuff. Or who are they dating now? It's like, it doesn't matter because...
Yeah. You didn't want them.
Now it's your...
You claim you're driving past an old property that
Yeah. So, yeah, I've definitely mishandled those things in the past. I just think, too, with a partner who was physically abusive to me, it's like...
Can you tell me my understanding of if you're college educated and go to... And the first time it happens, you're like... The fuck?
Yeah, it was I would say too, it wasn't really like, it was two, probably one major time and then a follow up later. You know, when you think of, we like to like villainize people who are abusive, and it's like, well, often they're very charismatic. They're funny.
You don't get to keep doing it
if you're not good at it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, there were definitely red flags, a lot of unhealthy things. And as someone, I'm on the side of, like, type A comic. Like, I don't like being out of control. I don't do drugs. I drink occasionally. As I age, I drink less and less. It doesn't mean I can't tell. Like, So I would say I've gotten better at it. In fact, my last relationship made me like an investigator of drugs and alcohol. Like I became like, you know,
a different kind of codependent.
Yeah. And, but back then I might have noticed less.
Was that the abusive one or the?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I guess what I'm getting at is I got better at detecting that. So I think initially,
well,
I didn't know they were on drugs.
Detecting one kind.
Yes. So
it was like, well, I'll never fall for that again. I'm going to fall for some different shit.
Exactly. Yes. So the first, it's tough because there were definitely lots of foul behavior in that, in my last one too. But that, the one in particular I'm speaking of, it's sort of like, that was my first time being harmed in that way by like a loved one, like a partner. And it felt very like, not like, oh no, I'm my mom, but I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't think that would happen to me.
Yeah, that's got to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it was, like I said,
like
it wasn't
struck
a consistent,
by lightning or something.
Yeah, it's not like, make me a sandwich, you know? Yeah. It's sort of like, a night goes wrong. I think he's kind of like a party guy. So I'm drinking a little more. I'm chameleoning, mm-hmm. whatever I'm mm-hmm. trying to say. My party ticks up a little, nothing crazy. But like, if I'm a little more inebriated than I normally would be in this relationship, I'm out more. And I was younger, of course, so I was... You know, it didn't affect me as much drinking. I didn't know if he was on pills or if he had just done a little coke, or I wouldn't detect that because I've never done cocaine and I don't do pills. I can't even take things prescribed to me because of like it is all linked to everything. I'm not trying to give you a scavenger
hunt. No, please.
It's just one of those things where I'm sort of like grown. It is all linked, and then I'm like it because we're all so used to like. Everybody thinks they're a therapist now, and everything on TikTok is like, you have this. Yeah. It's like therapy is now astrology. You're like, you read CPTSD.
I think it's an insult to astrology. Because I think most people think
I'm an Aries.
Everyone thinks, or almost everyone thinks astrology is stupid, but
no.
Almost no one thinks, some women think astrology is real. Almost. Everyone, you can't get insurance to cover your astrologer.
A reading?
Yeah. Although in California, I got to think it's got to be.
And I have somatic therapy, and I've been to a healing trauma program after that abusive relationship. It's like those things help. It's all, but it's a multi-pronged approach, as you know. It can't just be talk therapy, or it can't just be antidepressants or whatever, meditation and food.
Who knows? What's
so
work.
Many things.
Guys, underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. Got three pairs from four birthdays ago and two Christmases ago. You got pairs from five different brands, five different fits. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. I don't know if I would have gone with wild west as a metaphor, but I'm gonna eat my writing brain, and I'm just gonna be performing brain, where you smile and you deliver it with charisma. I would have gone with rummage sale, but you know, what do I know? A few Emmy nominations, not a big deal. Now that I've felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go because MeUndies is all I reach for. I'm hooked, and honestly, I just feel off if I try to wear something else. People have stopped me in the street, Neil, is something the matter? And I'll be like, you know what? I'll look through the thing and I'll be like, I didn't go with MeUndies today. Genuinely though, they are good underwear. They've sent me some. I've worn them in the past. I'm wearing them now. They're comfortable as hell. Soft. It's good. Styles for everyone. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL. Don't you change your body. MeUndies is going to meet you where you are. Guaranteeing a flattering cut for every single body that wears it. Get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/NEAL. That's MeUndies.com/NEAL for 20% off plus free shipping. That's MeUndies.com/NEAL, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. I did a TikTok, but for the outside in. Man, if you're only listening to this, you are robbing yourself from all the physical comedy I do in these things. Woo! 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 Goodbye.
Anyway, I feel like I've taken you on a...
No. Okay, well, I guess I'm wondering,
everything's
like...
Everything's linked. I'm just sort of thinking, like, how did I end up here?
Are you when you say here?
Being with a partner who physically harmed me.
And where are you now?
What do you mean?
Are you in a relationship now?
Yes.
Okay. And it's good?
It's great.
Great.
It's very healthy.
Yeah.
And that was like, there was like a bit of a mourning period I experienced with that, where I was like, find myself being overwhelmed with emotion and appreciation for him and like kind of tearing up and being like, I'm happy.
I have a question, which is, I have a joke that I tried to get Chris Rock to do.
Uh-huh.
Because it's dark, but he could tell it, which is women only say nice things about their husband when they get assassinated. So as a woman, I feel like you're like a feminist sellout. If you're like, my boyfriend or husband's fucking great. Like, you're not allowed to say anything.
I would have thought that in the past, like early days of stand-up, when you genuinely thought like, I can't be happy if I want to be a stand-up. Yeah. Things can't be going well if I want to be a stand-up. And I think that has changed, or at least for me.
Sure. Yeah.
But no, I do feel happy, and that is a good thing.
And you don't feel like you're failing your sisters by saying like, I have a guy who's like excellent in pretty much every category, and I'm crazy about him, and I don't think he's a misogynist or a colonizer or a, you know what I mean? Like, does it feel like a failure, or do you even look at it that way?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sleeping with the enemy, of course.
Of course,
but. I don't. I think it's like a good thing. I love men, you know, and like need them, and I want them to be full, happy, thinking human beings that can experience the range of emotions without any sort of shame. Like, I don't. I think that it's will never fully step out of like patriarchal feelings and values, in the sense that like sometimes I can say, well, why am I turned on that I could be physically protected by this man, or he would stand up for me in a physical fashion,
yeah,
you know, or like be the breadwinner or take care of me. Like, there, that will always be part of our culture. That being said, I can take care of myself, and it's nice to not have to take care of someone, which is what I was doing probably for a while. Like, he doesn't rely on me for money or food. It's like a grown man that has a home.
Mm-hmm.
And buys his own food.
Yeah, I think that's the first, I think like that's the bare minimum.
Yeah, but also like I can't blame those men who I was paying for, because I offered, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It's, that's part of it, is I can sit with you and say 5 years ago and go, gosh, if I pay for one more man's dinner, and then we're sitting there and we're talking and things are going well, and he's telling me like he's, you know, bartender or something, and I'm like, oh, and I'm writing for a comedy show or some television show, and the check comes and I'm like, here. It's like, why'd you do that? Why'd you do the thing you don't want to do?
Oh, right. Yeah, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, Beth.
So as much as I can get annoyed by that.
Yeah, see if he'll pay instead of, yeah.
Or just
I don't think it's, yes.
I think that's that's what bothered me the most about the two relationships that were bad, is like, I thought I fixed this.
One of them was physically abusive.
And the other one was more like him dealing with him being, we're about 7 years apart. He was younger than me. He was doing alcohol and drugs and lying a lot, probably pathological mm-hmm. liar.
Yeah.
And just so much projection. It was just, I couldn't believe that like I got taken for a ride again, in the sense that like I tried to be open. I tried to talk about things. And then all of a sudden, I just like let it keep happening. Like, he wasn't saying, like, if I was paying for everything, it was slowly eating at me. And I knew he wasn't working. And at the time, I thought I would say, I even said like, hey, at one point I did bring it up. I said, if you are going to be staying here most of the time, like, you are going to have to start paying rent with me. And he was like, yeah, I totally get that. Cut to him staying with me for a full week. So it was sort of like my boundaries were, I was able to talk. It wasn't like I couldn't say anything at all.
You would say what your boundary was, but not enforce it.
Yes.
Yeah. You had a,
and I would notice things and say them.
You had a legislative force, but not a police force.
Yes. And then I would notice things and say things. Like, you know, if somebody's like, I'm like, you did coke, right? No. I'm like,
yeah.
I love you. I was like, okay.
All right. Then I guess I can't ask. And then no further questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's the part that like just twists a knife in you, where you're just getting like gaslit out your gourd by someone who's telling you that they love you.
And then you're that's like, actually
and why do I love it so much? Why am I still loving this person who's mistreating me? I always know.
Because it's a fairy tale.
I always know. 3 months in, I knew. I packed all of his stuff and put it in the garage and said, your keys are in there too. Bye. Calls me, long letter. okay. And I love
it's over three pages. You got to take them back.
Yeah. And I did. And the next one was 5 pages. And this last one was 12. But it's like, I truthfully, it's like, I'm not like saying that stuff because I want to get back at him or something. I'm not saying I don't feel angry still.
No,
like, again, I recognize that he has his own issues to deal with. I just can't believe that I kind of took them on as if they were my fault. I think there was a lot of projection happening. And I'm looking back like, why did I think you were in charge? You know, like what? I'm in charge. I don't know why I like deferred in that way.
Look, man.
That's when I felt like things fell apart.
And that's the thing. It's like I did the same thing as a guy.
Okay.
In romantic relationships. I'm glad that you're sharing that.
I mean, because I'm so interested.
Yeah,
to know.
No, I know. But like in personal relationships. And it's I can pathologize it. I can say why. I can tell you that my dad's an alcoholic and did it. Which may be true. But the thing I've been saying to myself recently is you know, like restaurant and the menu and there's no substitutions. Life.
Yeah.
Here it is. No substitutions. What are you going to do? You can't be like, well, that's who they're going to be.
Yeah.
Are you going to get off the road? Or are you going to keep like, no, I think this is like right. the way. No, this is a bad
road,
dude.
Get off the road, yes.
Get off the road.
But why is it so easy? Like, you know, you can tell your friend that. You can know it and then still be on that thing getting really
rocked. Because it's
rocked.
A narcotic fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's fake. You know, the expectations of you ultimately are kind of low.
Yeah,
because it's all fake.
Well, also he was offering like breadcrumb of change. Like I'm trying to change. Yeah. I can't change that fast.
Yeah. Well, that narrative's the dumbest.
I mean, also too, the thing that your joke from Blocks is just sort of like, I forget the exact word you use when you're just like, they were pulling a fast one on you, basically. Like you look back and everything you thought was real between
yeah,
the two.
It's a grift. It's a grift.
Some of the most cherished memories of your life may have been a grift.
The whole thing. And it's happened with girls. It's happened with friends, guy friends, it's happened with business. It's just people are just running their thing. And if someone won't recognize your boundary and kind of want to help you enforce
right.
it, that's not your friend.
I agree with you.
It's just hard to, it's also hard to call out. Hey, this whole, your whole life is a lie. that's a big thing to say to somebody.
Yeah.
Because it's such a complete, somebody said that there was a joke on The Good Place where when I heard the term basic, you're so basic,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe how perfect it was as an insult. It's like maybe the best insult I've ever heard. And there was a joke on The Good Place like, no, it's a complete, total, foundational, it's the final insult. Once you say to somebody, they can't get out of it. Once you say to somebody like, I think you're lying almost all the time, you can't really go get something to eat after that.
No.
Because they know you know.
Yeah.
And they're also, they can't even passive aggressive. You're like, well, you know, you think I'm lying. You're lying.
That's the toughest part. It's sort of like... That realizing that about someone that you're like, I loved you and you lied like so much.
Everything was, I didn't even love, I loved a thing, I loved the character.
Right.
But I didn't like the you is a sort of conniving. Also, it's hard not to be conniving.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaning it's not for us because we're so righteous, but I'm saying, but, you know, it's hard to be honest and forthright and know that, you know, by being honest, you can lose shit.
It can feel so uncomfortable.
Oh.
So uncomfortable.
It's the worst 5 minutes, but it's the second 5 minutes are excellent. But
yeah.
The first five are unbearable. But then once you both realize, like,
And I think I look back, like I was saying in my 20s, about those times where I was, you know, partner to partner. And of course, when I was experiencing that, the other guy that cheated on me, I'm like, there's always like, you always want to make levels to it. Like, well, I wasn't that bad. But there was always a little part of me that was like, karmically, is this coming back? Or is it just a youth thing? I mean, he's 7 years younger than me, but I'm just sort of like, I mistook tall for mature, you know?
What, first time ever. First time that's ever happened to a woman. Mistook tall for everything. For a husband, for a leader, for, I mean, like, yeah.
That should be a punishment. You're not allowed, you can't wear sneakers. You can only wear flip-flops now if you're tall. We're taking an inch off of you.
Yeah.
And the next thing is your feet. Next thing to go is your feet.
Do what you want, but just know that you're losing. But I don't think tall people realize. I think they're people, so they think like, well, I'm just earning this off of my merits. And so you're kind of open about your own contribution to the dissatisfactory, like the unsatisfactory relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
bummed
at myself.
Are you at empathy yet?
That's the thing. I'm bummed at myself. I'm mad at myself. I don't know if I'm in that currently. But to say that I'm not, I still don't have anger towards my ex is wrong. Because I still definitely do. I don't think it's bubbling within me and going to lash out at any minute. But I'm not like a lot of things help me. Like going to meetings for sure help. But still, I don't even take that fully seriously. There's so many things within reach.
12-step meeting.
Yeah, but I kind of like, sometimes I feel like there are things within reach to help me and I'm just not grabbing them. It's almost like we were talking about forming a joke in stand-up. It's just like, oh, I'll do another show. It'll come. Instead of like pen to paper, I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's like that's what I'm treating my healing as. It's like, well, if I go to enough meetings and I do this, yeah. I need to get back in therapy. My therapist had moved away for a bit and that's helpful. And there's just things within reach that I know would help me. Field hockey was a great distraction, I think, for a while. Not distraction, but activity,
outlet,
source of like confidence and fun. It's an ongoing garden to
weed. Okay, well, here's a, fine. Yes.
And that's the trouble.
And what do you think of the basic non-pathologized thing of women have bodies that once a month are like, hey, are we doing a baby this month? Okay. Well, here's deal with this. Sploosh.
Yeah.
And also just a world where men are bigger than women and women need safety and women need the thing you were saying about like, what do you make of, do you resent nature for the situation that women find themselves in?
Right.
Because it's so much of it's like
so powerful.
Patriarch and da-da-da. It's like, I always think like no one's a bigger sexist than God. The whole thing is set up that it's, I think it evens out with women's ability for emotional connection that men don't have.
Yeah.
Like you, all that price you pay there, you like get back in like love and shit, a love beam.
Yeah.
Anyhow, no, what do you think of like or wanting to get married or wanting to have a kid by 40 or all these things that are just kind of like almost factory settings for women?
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with them and do you have them?
Yes, I feel like I was very driven career wise for a long time. And because I had that rhetoric from my dad and my mom was always encouraging in my career, I never felt pressure. My sisters are married several times. And they each have kids. No one's ever given me that, like, when are you doing it? So I've never felt that pressure. I've also felt trapped by marriage, and I didn't dream of it. I always felt like stand-up is my wedding all the time. I mean, do I want a nice photo of me? They're everywhere. You know, I could get a photo shoot. I don't need to put on a wedding dress. Or I could, and then post those.
Sure.
But, like, I don't need that attention, and sometimes I worry or I perceived it to be, like, is that why people are getting married? Like that one big day where everybody looks at you, you know?
Yeah, which we satisfy with the job.
Yeah. I badly want to trust myself and feel happy in myself and confident. And at this point, it's like I owe that to myself and I feel like I'm there. So with this new partner in my life, met him in like last summer, I felt like a Disney wind was like blowing me towards him. Like, and it was like, is the universe sick of me and my broken picker? And they're like, we're going to help. You know, or that scary trust part within myself is like, or is it another alcoholic? And I'm like,
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, I offered this man my trust, which is a gift. I did my best to not bring old stuff into it. I feel like it's someone wonderful coming into my life. What was the question again?
I guess it's what do you make of the biological urges that you find yourself.
He has kids from a previous marriage. That was never like a deal breaker or anything like that. I had step parents. I've met him right after I froze my eggs. So I have like healthy young eggs.
You froze
them
in Alabama, right? Because I have some bad
they're
news.
They're there. They're getting eaten as we speak.
Really awful news. Maybe good news. You don't have to make the payments anymore.
No, they're chilling in Bev Hills.
Hello.
My eggs are 90210, baby.
Great.
So it's like I did that for a reason. Because it's a vulnerable thing to say out loud. I'm not scared right now.
This goes to the same thing of like...
It's any dream or wish.
But especially it's somehow you're betraying feminism by saying like, I would like to be a mother.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree.
You know where I'm coming from though.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not like, oh my gosh, that's a wild take.
Yeah.
But like, come on. Feminism is like... It has such a bad rap. And like any movement, who's gets the most press? The worst people of it.
But it scares, I think, reasonable people. Like any movement.
Sure.
It scares like the people who are like, oh, I don't really fucking agree with that.
I guess the only time that this idea bothers me is when a female's like, I'm not a feminist.
I think that's also stupid.
Yeah.
So it's more about vocalizing a dream in public because it might
like,
not happen.
Honestly, yeah. Even like back in the day when I was young and full of hope, it was scary for me to out loud to be like, I want to be on SNL.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucking loser. You're never going to make it.
Yeah.
So to me, it's sort of like a feeling like, I do want to be a mom. Is my path a stepmom? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I think there is absolutely a biological pull, and my body rocks me once a month. Thankfully, I don't have to deal with anything like PCOS or anything intense with my, I have a very healthy cycle, but even still with a healthy 28-day cycle, my face is breaking out. I'll have a face breakout. I have cramps. I'm irritable. When I'm ovulating, I'm horny. Like the body is
These are not novel things, but meaning like there's a book called Period Power that my girlfriend, who's a therapist, recommends to her patients, which is like,
it's incredible.
It just explains what your body's going to be doing almost to the hour.
Yes. And that is totally, I was going to go, totally cool. But it's sort of like, I have a, you know, this, my next or my new hour is including a lot of this stuff that we're talking about. The freezing of the eggs.
Yep.
How I think there should be a license before you're allowed to fuck. How
totally agree.
On that test there should be the cycle and learning about the cycle. And I explain that it's complicated and whatever. But the heart of the joke is like, your boobs are bigger and like more attractive. You are horny. Your discharge is like sticky because it's like, I'm going to get your jizz and keep it in me. And you are more attractive in that way because your body's like, I want a baby. So
it's
like,
funny I'm from like, the guys. There's a couple months ago, my girlfriend, I was like, we were on Zoom or FaceTime and she looked really good. And I was like, I like want to buy you gifts. And she was like, I'm ovulating. She's like, that makes sense. Cause like it works on us too. And there was a study that strippers in Atlanta got more tips when they were ovulating.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. Well, also for example, like there's plenty of jokes about this, but like, you know, spend so long trying not to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you actually want to, it's like such a mind shift. My boyfriend is fixed. So like we have incredible sex and I'm not worried, even though like I'm saying like in so many ways like I'm really in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I deeply love him as a person and I think he's incredible, and it's like, yeah, I want to make a baby with you. I also want a puppy, but I'm on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I was just sort of like, I don't know where the reality is on that.
Yeah,
because I do want to have a kid with him. He has a vasectomy. I remember it was probably a flippant comment, maybe on one of our first dates, and maybe he was saying it because he wanted to leave the window open to someone who's in their 30s, who like isn't married, to be like, he's like, I have a vasectomy. It can be reversed. It was like a flippant comment, but like, of course that's lodged in my brain. Like, I'm like, why did he say that? Yeah. Did he say that because he didn't want to like maybe miss out on continuing dating me? Did he say that because he feels
also,
that?
Also, like, women don't know, you fool. Women know more about this shit than
actually, I'm trained to reverse it right now. Is that something you want to
make? Is that? Yeah.
I have a scalpel in my purse.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know what that would do. Yeah. So I guess to answer your question, it's like, I can't really, like, part of me, what if I say like, yes, I want to have a baby and I'm just waiting to talk to him about it? I don't know if that's true. Like, have I tamped down so much in my life, in my feelings, like even career-wise, where you go, we're taught to basically like not want it too much. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just sort of like standing next to Jamie Foxx and you're like, eh.
Yeah, I just create. I don't,
yeah,
I don't notice sort of like, outcome. It, no, I don't get like, caught up in outcomes.
Jamie Foxx, I have an idea. Like, because you don't, you're just trying to keep it cool and do your job and whatever. But there are exciting parts about it. And so it's like, does everything seep into all areas of your life where I'm just remaining calm and like maybe it will happen, maybe
cool
it won't?
Girl.
Yeah, because that, and that's like so much of even stand up.
Well, again, and that's the thing that you were saying earlier, we were both saying, it's like the certitude of therapy, the certitude of like, I know why I did what I did because of this. And even like, do I even believe anything?
Yeah.
Or is it just purely kind of like that day's chemicals?
Yeah.
And the cycle's a perfect example of it, where there are things that you would, hills you would die on one day,
mm-hmm.
and the next day you don't even remember the conversation. And it's like, and I have that, I've realized that about myself, where I'm like, I don't even have fixed belief. I say I believe this, and then I do MDMA, and I no longer believe that. So, like, it's just chemically dependent
mm-hmm.
is who I am.
Yeah.
And so this idea of, like, do I want to be a mom? Do I want to look like a mom? Do I want a picture of a mom? Do I want to? And it's impossible to know.
Yeah, I don't know the answer because it's irrevocable.
Yeah.
It's not just like, maybe we try it out.
No, exactly.
And then, of course, somebody could be like, oh, you can foster, you can do this. Like, no, it's not that I'm against any of that, but it's like that decision to have a child of my own with someone else, if that's what happened, it's like, yeah, that's not just like the 18-year thing. It's like, you don't go back. So how do you make that decision? I mean, that's how I felt about marriage for a long time. And I can't tell if I'm fine. I would say at this point, like, I do love this man as a partner. Like, I want to go through life with him. And I haven't really felt like that. And then, of course, my joke brain is like, is it easier for me to be open to marriage now that I'm closer to death? You know, like, it's like less years till death do us part. The commitment is shorter.
Yeah.
But truthfully, it's like, I do want to go through life with him. He's a great partner.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel all the cliche things that I never really did, which is interesting.
Like
you'll know when you know, and it's a different feeling. And
yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing
really,
when you fall for it.
Yeah, really embarrassing. And I'm sort of
and also the idea that maybe this one's fake too.
100.
And I, you know what I came to with that was I dated a woman
and maybe this was fake too.
And I was like, I'm gonna just devote myself to this.
That's a great
and
move.
And like she ended up breaking up with me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I played a good game.
Yeah.
I don't
you
like
showed up.
I lost technically. The game got canned, whatever, however you want to put it. But like I was a good person in that.
And that's beautiful.
And not even on some like, and nobody, I'm a victim anyway. Like,
no,
that's how I would like to be. If I feel that way about somebody, I'm going to act that way about somebody.
Yeah.
And
that's like, I know
whatever the outcome,
it sounds
fuck
so cheesy or whatever, but that's like a beautiful example of, I forget how Bell Hooks puts it nicely in her book, The Will to Change. But I think it's like male, not male feminism, but it's in that realm of like, you showed up and you allowed yourself to feel all those feelings, and it's okay that you were hurt. It doesn't mean you're less of a man or you couldn't express those things. Like, we want, I mean, I want men to feel vulnerable and still be a man. I mean, it's that's kind of also, like, to me, that's so normal. But I think that kind of comes with
it's
living
the
out
honesty
here
of,
and constantly mining and being so open to things. It's like, that's when I don't want to be inaccessible to other people. Because to me, I go, well, of course, man. And then there are cut to someone, college girl in Grand Rapids right now that's like, man up, fight this guy for me, you pussy. You know, like, and that's
right. But also, terrible, what? Fight you about what?
I don't know, fight like, defend my what? Honor. I right. have no clue. It's like, there are women who absolutely contribute to terrible patriarchal values that are harming men too. So it's not just like men are the bad guys. It's like,
oh yeah, there's
that's
ways
what I'm saying.
Like,
no, women inflict that.
I've seen
deeply.
Women. I've told women that a girl broke up with me and saw them glaze over. Like, oh, then you're not a viable man.
Yeah, it's gross.
And it's kind of like, goodbye.
Yes.
Like, you're a fucking psycho.
Yes.
And the person you end up with is going to, you're
it's cutting off
you're
a part
doomed.
Of themselves.
You're doomed, I would say.
You will never get a full version
I curse
of someone.
Them. I put a curse on them. Yeah. I mean, not really, but
she'll never get the full version of that man. He'll never, or whatever partner she ends
it's just,
up being
you're
with.
Just, oh, you're fostering an environment of dishonesty.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about when we're talking about honesty is like a lot of people don't foster a place where you can be honest because there's when people go, there's no right or wrong answer. Shut the fuck up. Like, who the fuck are you bullshit? Like there's a right and wrong answer to everything.
Yeah. And but I think that leads into a
there's
a greater conversation about accountability, right? Because nobody really wants to like I always want to be right. I didn't want to get in trouble as a kid. I was a little troublemaker. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. She was talking. I want to be good, even though I was, you know, not in a terrible way, but I was disruptive and trying to be funny and all those things. But it was like, I always wanted to be a good kid. We don't live in a culture of being like, hey, I did something wrong. And then someone going, thanks for admitting that. That allows me to heal.
Yes.
Let's try to move on together.
Immediate
adverse
defense.
To everything in your yes. body. To want to do that. You know, everybody loves to complain about cancel culture and this or that. It's like, but we don't have any road to accountability and back into society. Yeah. So of course, no one's going to admit to anything if it means that they're going to be thrown away. And when no one's admitting to anything, then yeah, I guess everybody's a bunch of liars.
It becomes in some ways worse than before.
Yes.
Meaning, because it's like, well, fuck it. If I better cover my shit up.
Yeah, right.
Because if this is the punishment, and people go, this punishment's running up. It's because they weren't murdered.
Right.
That seemed to be like that was what people wanted. So you're absolutely right that like you have to foster honesty and live with the results.
Yeah.
And be willing to be like, I don't want to be in a relationship where I have to lie. It's not going to work.
No.
It's not going to work. Obviously, there's like the little lies of like your hair, like whatever, like that dumb shit. But like... those aren't lies to me. I mean, that's whatever. It's
no,
just like,
I think it's also dealing with the story not being perfect. And that idea of, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of a dumb example, you know, go to a party, he had too many drinks and he said something he regrets versus go to a party, he got so hammered, he fucked my friend. You know, like obviously those are very, very mm-hmm. different things. But it's like, okay, how do you... can you come back from that even though you were a little embarrassed? Like the story's not ruined. That person's not a bad person for getting a little drunk and saying one thing, you know? Yeah. So you can't, you have to be, I think this is, I'm rambling, but this is also the first time I've actually felt a little more of what it might feel like to give what I receive in this relationship, this current one.
Say more
like,
about
that. I guess like it played out when we were both sick. I was sick first and he took care of me. It was really hard for me to receive his help. Like I'm very much all
spitting
do it myself.
Pellet gun. Like a raccoon.
And then he got sick, of course, after me. And I'm like, let me do everything for you. And he's like, no. So it's like that's kind of the opposite example, honestly. But it was like reflected back to me where I was like, oh, it is difficult sometimes to receive the love I want to give. Because I had that back to back happen. And then not conversely, but in the same sort of vein, it's like, how does it feel to receive that type of love that I give, I guess? Me actually knowing what it feels like to get back what I give versus giving a bucket, like me pouring all of myself into a bucket with a hole. Like, yeah. There's a joy in that exhaustion.
Oh, well, you're.
It keeps me busy.
It rates you very high on the victim scale.
And I'm busy. I have such a job to do.
You're
I have
so
such
busy.
A job
you're
to
exhausted.
Do. I'm not able to write
you.
This thing that's.
You're a fucking saint.
Yeah, because I'm going this. Yeah, yeah. So now it's sort of like, well, I'm not busy.
Yeah, like, wait, it's normal? Yeah, like, well, this is pretty normal. I don't have cortisol shooting through my body at all times. What?
Yeah.
Is this even a relationship?
Right. That's what was so interesting because it's like, I am content. And like I told you, I would sometimes just tear up thinking about him, like overwhelmed with like my appreciation for him.
Yeah. I think male-female relationships are the best form of relationship. I don't think I'm saying anything crazy. It sounds crazy, but like when done correctly, we're both bringing something the other one doesn't.
I think what you're saying is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I think that's what it all comes down to. If we don't, soon they're going to be marrying animals. So I'm with you, and I don't think it's, I think it's great. I think it's, we all want to be so like unique, like our decisions are like, well, I'm not basic, I'm not typical, like I do things a little differently. And it's like, no, it turns out you just want a nice guy who could protect you.
Yeah. And who's not perfect. Like, I don't want him to be perfect. Like, I think that's the hardest part is like us wanting this perfect little storybook and nothing goes wrong and appearances and we look good and we post together and we're happy together. It's like, you know, he's even said too, it's like when we've had conversations that have come up that have been more difficult. And I guess it, you know, without sounding too cheesy, it's like, it shouldn't be like, I don't want something that's easy all the time. I don't want something that's like the bumpy road either, but it's like, you have to have some of these difficult conversations because that totally makes it a deeper relationship, have deeper understanding and be able
you
to
You have to come
forward.
To the, like the forks and be like, I'm choosing the, what I actually feel and I'm telling you it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Right.
Because I have to, it's not like she's forced to then come with me, but it's like, you have to be in a good relationship. I have to be in a good relationship.
Yes.
Here's what is a good relationship to me. What do you think? And you have to be willing to lose the person.
Yeah.
Lose the relationship over basically what seems like this incredibly high standard, but it's just a pretty necessary standard.
Yeah. We were like, both saying like that he and I don't know why I put him in that chair, but he and I were saying like, yeah, if the worst thing happens, right? Like his biggest fear of me and my biggest fear of him. We had fun. We showed up for each other. We loved each other. Mm-hmm. Like you have to buy into it, you know? I remember like after like initially getting my ex had basically admitted to all of it later. And it
the drug?
The cheating and everything, yeah. And after I'd already left and I, you know, he told me more and more details and I was like, rocked to my core.
Helpful?
Not helpful.
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Do you think he did it in a sadistic way?
No, or? I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it was probably to selfish, to, mm-hmm. to sort of, what's the word I'm
exonerate
looking for?
Exonerate himself.
Yeah. But at that moment in time, I think I was talking to Jimmy Pardo on his podcast. It felt like me happily walking up to a Chipotle that says open and yanking on the door and it's closed. And I'm like, and then I look around like I'm embarrassed. Like pulling on a locked door is embarrassing. And so I think that's what, obviously you want to avoid that feeling. Like someone who's emotionally unavailable. It's like, here I go. I'm so excited. And then you're embarrassed. It's like, no, I showed up. I was happy. Yeah. It said open. Yeah. You know, I'm not a fool. And I'll go find another door that
opens. Yeah, our culture sort of would say you're kind of a fool.
Right.
Because you don't know a closed, open Chipotle when you see it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how would I? It had all the hallmarks of an open Chipotle.
And that's how I felt at the time. And so it's sort of like, okay, if that happens again, like you said, you're going to show up again. You might get hurt.
Yeah.
You're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to approach them like defensively.
No.
Because it's just not worth it.
No.
Nothing's happening.
And to your point about like feminism and do I want to get married and stuff, like it's interesting because I used to also, like I looked at it negatively. It seemed like a trap. I always felt like if the government is involved, how is it not nefarious? Mm-hmm. And it is the first time I felt like I would publicly proclaim
much like
my
Social
love
Security, right?
For this
Social
man.
Security and Medicaid. It's totally nefarious. Go ahead. Another nefarious government program. Go ahead.
But that's time changes things, perspective changes things. And so, but then I still have that in the back of my head where it feels like a frat that you have to get beaten into, or like kids, like, no, you should have kids. And meanwhile, These people are miserable. So it's like nothing is. That's another thing. You can't be thinking in black and white. I operate like that a lot. So for me, it's like, I'm open to marriage.
It's also like they just are both true.
Yeah, exactly.
You're both.
Kids can
both
be
of
so rewarding,
like,
and they can also drain you of your life force.
Yes. That's totally true.
Yes.
All right. We got to go. We covered one block, but man, did we cover it. We really covered it. Again.
Up, down,
if you didn't want
around.
Me then, on Netflix, watch it. It's great. It's like five hunks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, great. Beth Stanley.
Thank you for having me.